Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, and thank you so much for tuning into this week's Food for Thought, a podcast that's on a mission to equip you all with the evidence-based advice that you need to live and breathe a healthy lifestyle. I'm Rhiannon Lambert, registered nutritionist, author of Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well, and founder of Retrition, London's leading private nutrition clinic. In each of the 12 episodes, I'll be joined by guests, all of whom are experts in their field, so that together we can learn fact from fiction and empower the healthiest and happiest versions of ourselves with trusted expert advice. Whether we like it or not, our brain is constantly thinking, influencing our every choice. Now, as we begin to take on more responsibility and travel far beyond our front doors, which we haven't done in quite a while, finding our happy balance in the steps that we will now take may be potentially challenging. This week's Food for Thought sees Mind and Movement mentor Richie Norton and I explore how we can all tap into the power of positivity and transform the way that we think and feel. Hello, Richie.
Hello there. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Before we jump straight in, it's so important, isn't it, to discuss the fact that I think healthy is not always happy. And we were chatting just before we went on air about the challenges of business life, you know, things that we have to do. And happiness sometimes doesn't come easily, does it, when you've got a lot of work on your plate?
Yeah, there's that saying where it's important to try and find that balance between work and play and do things that make you happy and follow your heart and follow your dreams and follow your passion. But sometimes you do just have to dig in and work through the obstacles and challenges that are inevitable, really. But I feel that's where the rewards come, right? And then when you get to enjoy some peace and quiet and find that moment of happiness, it feels like it's been earned and you can enjoy it so much more.
Yeah, it's so true. It's the way that your mindset or the way you look at the question itself, I guess, and how you answer that. And there's a lot that I think needs to be done as well on the perception of, I guess, what success is, because it will look differently to everyone.
Yeah, it's an interesting one unpacking that, because success, I mean, I've come across various different mentors and incredible teachers in my time that have delivered that in different ways. And the underlying consistency seems to be making sure you're able to live the life you want to live. So it's different levels of what I would say, you know, happiness and success are. And for me, part of success or the journey to success is being close to nature, for example, something super simple, being able to wake up in the countryside. I feel like I'm successful because I've achieved that, even though it's not everything I want from this life and I want to achieve. It's still a step in the right direction. At least I'm putting the building blocks in various different levels of mini successes and little wins. So I feel like I'm at least making progress, even though it feels like sometimes it's taking some time. I feel we need to celebrate those little moments of success. And I feel like it constantly changes as we as the world opens up to us and we explore new hobbies or passions and follow our heart and go after the things we really want to achieve. And yeah, it's an interesting one, that one. I think we can unpack that for probably a whole episode, but I do really feel it's important to have people recognize that it needs to be seen as a journey and something I don't think that ever really ends. But the foundation of it for me is making sure you're living the life you want to live. You know, how can you be successful if you're not doing what you want to do, right? If there's certain things I feel we've got to do along the way that aren't always our dream role or our dream existence. But as long as I feel you're working the right direction, it's something you can, you know, put the right energy into.
That's so true. It's almost like having an element of realism or just having expectations that match what is realistic, I think, as well. And celebrating the small wins, like you said, you know, you're grateful for waking up in the countryside. And would you say that this sort of way of celebrating, you said celebrate the small wins, but is it possible to do that individually? Or do you perhaps need somebody else to acknowledge a small win with you? Do you think as human beings we need that contact to be able to acknowledge success?
Interesting one. I personally would say no, because I feel like, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's nice for someone to like enjoy the experience with you and to share these experiences with you, but my personal journey has been, a lot of it has been a solo admission. I went out on my own to try and achieve different things that I was drawn to and felt compelled to follow through with. And there were times where I'd be on my own traveling and working on projects and digging deep and learning new things, and I didn't have anybody to share it with. So for me, it was that the momentum and the drive to keep going when things even got hard and challenging and didn't quite, I guess, unfold as I wanted them to. I had to do the self-talk. I had to like hype myself up. I had to wake up the next day even earlier to try again. And I feel there's a lot of power that comes with that. And I feel that sometimes the mini wins that you celebrate for yourself, because you appreciate how far you've come, are really satisfying, because at the end of the day, you're building your life for you. You're creating happiness for you. You don't need anyone else to make you happy. We should all try and find these things in our own existence. So I feel it works both ways. I think it's important to recognize that it takes work, and we have to, like I said earlier, dig deep in situations where it can be quite tough and challenging and not a clear path. But when we find people that support what we're doing and compliment what we're doing and have your back and celebrate things with you, it makes it even more epic. But there are times when, and most of the time, where we just have to keep, you know, moving forwards and just accepting where things need to change, and, you know, make sure we see the hard work that's going in there is stepping you in the right direction.
I really, really like that answer. And I do think that accepting that we need to find happiness within ourselves, and This is not my words, it's a line from somebody else we had on the podcast. And she said that happiness is not a state we're meant to be in permanently. You know, it comes and it goes, and it's acknowledging the fact that it will appear sometimes, and other times embracing you won't always feel that way. Because I think hopes and experiences, they can be short-lived. Mm-hmm. So why, first of all, do you think that is, and how do we change our mindset towards this way of living?
Interesting one. So all I can really reference against here is my view and opinion and experience in this. And, you know, I'm not always happy. As much as from the outside looking in on my social media, you might think, yeah, this guy's got it all figured out. He's living his best life every day. There are definitely times where I'm caught off guard. I couldn't plan for the thing that happened, and it can you know, knock you down a few pegs or put you in a lower vibration, as I would say, and it can be hard to pick yourself back up. And I find in those moments, rather than letting that control me and dominate my mindset and leave me in that negative space, that headspace, or I guess steer me off the positive path that I was on, it's about accepting that that's going to happen. And I really believe that the obstacles that when they are presented to you and challenges and emotions, you know, whether it's work, life, relationships, it's going to happen. That's part of your journey. So rather than let it completely derail your journey and this path that you're on, why not look at the things that you could learn from that situation to become more resilient or to prepare a little bit better next time, to be more compassionate, to be more understanding, to be more grateful. So for me, that was never part of my childhood. It's happened in my adult life, going through this process of becoming a coach and a teacher and looking for people that I'm inspired by and seeing how they've done things and then I try and apply it in my own way. And that way, when things do happen, and they still do, I'm a little bit more prepared. So my mindset is kind of more understanding, less reactive and more calmly responsive, where I just kind of absorb what's going on and then I guess taking some time out to understand what the next best steps are. And that way you're never completely, shaken off the path that you were on. It just may mean that you have to divert your energy somewhere else temporarily. And I guess that's why these tools that you hear me talk about are so key, because they work in all sorts of different situations.
Yeah. And I mean, do you think it comes with, there's an element of that that you described that comes with age then, the ability to just absorb it? Because I do feel that when we are younger, I know I'm not of the elderly age yet, but I do feel, so I'm not going to pretend I'm an all-knowing person. I really am not, but I do feel a difference between my 30s and my 20s. And I'm sure when I'm 40, I'll say the same, and 50, I'll say the same. Perhaps there is an element of age there that enables you to think that way.
Yeah. So when I think about being wise, that wise old owl, I think it's only natural that you pick up lessons and learn things as you go through life. You know, there are a lot of incredibly intelligent and wise young human beings out there these days, and I guess there always has been, but I think it's important to look at, you know, you're only going to improve if you keep your eyes open and you're always looking to improve yourself, and that never really ends. You hopefully pick up these skills and experiences that allow you to take on life a little bit more prepared. So for me, knowing where I was just 10 years ago, I almost don't even recognize who I am today, because I went deeper into trying to understand what life was about and what my purpose was, and, you know, trying to understand what I wanted to do with my time, realizing how precious it is. And that caused me to take more of a mature mindset and take more responsibility for myself, rather than rely on anybody or anything to fix anything for me or do the work for me. And I guess that the wisdom comes in accepting that that's on me and taking positive power from that realization. So it allows you to apply yourself, be a kinder human being to others and to yourself. And then you're always kind of like, I'm always looking for elderly people that have got lots of great stories and, you know, have interesting lives to see, you know, what other people have experienced, to see what I might be to take away from them. And I think if you have that learning mindset and you have that understanding and humble approach to life, you can learn from so many different things. And I think that's a really nice way to look at things, because you never know when life might take a little turn or your focus might shift. And I think it's great to embrace age and wisdom and maturity, because it, you know, if you are, you know, opening your eyes and your ears, you're going to learn a lot of great things that will carry in good stead, I believe.
Yeah, the key word is being open to it there, I think. I think we're not really taught or encouraged, I think, actively anymore to be open to those wisdoms and to want to seek out the life experiences of others in that way. Perhaps we're so focused on achieving milestones, and I don't know, at school it's getting through your exams and then there's a challenge after that, and it's almost like it's set out by society what we should and shouldn't be striving for, and we forget about perhaps the natural cyclic process of life, where we're meant to be embracing each generation for their different experiences. So how can we get the balance between, I guess, a short-term and a long-term gratifying experience? I'm sure you're asked that type of thing a lot, but they're very different, I think.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, it's about being less pressured by external forces and being pushed or forced by other people's expectations. And with you know, the world being, you know, faster than ever, and, you know, that competitive mentality of wanting to achieve lots of things or live your best life or, you know, make this amount of money or whatever your expectations are of yourself or what you feel is expected of you, I feel that can really cloud tapping into what we actually really want to do with the time that we have. And I find a lot of people position themselves or follow these paths because that's what they think they should do or what other people have been successful with. And we miss out doing the things that really would bring us joy or bring us that happiness and feel more fulfilled and not have any regrets. And I've been that person.
Yeah.
But I feel that, you know, the little things often get missed, and the little things can be the real key in you maintaining that feeling of like contentment and fulfillment and gratitude for literally having a roof over your head or having good friends around you, having a loving family, or, you know, being able to pay your bills and go on holidays. A lot of us take the little things that some take for granted. And I feel like there's a lot of, you know, really great opportunities to feel more grounded and really grateful for the little things that make the bigger achievements even more epic. Or, and I feel, you know, again, from my experience and the clients that I have, a lot of the time it's that they're stressed because of all the expectations they have for themselves and trying to impress others that they don't even really like or care about, looking for that gratification from others, showing off, or, you know, your certain friend circles, rather than going and following your passion and your dream and being willing to make a shift and change your environment. And because I know I did that myself, I moved to Australia after being in London for 10 years.
What a big move as well.
Massive move, but a move that probably changed, well, it did change my life. I'm not saying everyone has to move to Australia, but I put myself in a position in a job in London after my rugby career ended, and I thought it's just all about making money, whereas I made the money, but then I was probably more unhappy than I ever was because I was ignoring the underlying feeling, the gut feeling that I wanted something different. And I feel like sometimes when we step out of our comfort zone like that, because we do follow our heart or we follow that gut instinct to like try something different, explore something different, can just open up a whole new world for you that, you know, can lead to some really incredible places.
And I think you can't force that mindset on someone. What's so interesting about everything you've just said is that I think it takes a degree of mental strength or clarification to know that you need to take a step back, that you need to practice gratitude, or these things will enhance your life, because they're not skills that we're taught to do. And it takes a certain kind of individual to do that. And I think it could benefit so many of us, the practice of gratitude. I myself could definitely take a lot from what you're saying right now and remember to implement it. But I think we get so wrapped up in our day-to-day lives that being kind to ourselves as well is, it becomes extremely difficult. I mean, what would you say to any client that you had that isn't being kind to themselves? How would you encourage somebody to take a step back and say, look, think about these things? Are there any practices they can do? Would journaling be something you'd recommend?
Yeah. So, I mean, without, you know, shamelessly, you know, talking about the book that I've
that I'm releasing
right
book.
Now. I mean, this book is, you know, what I like to feel is that workbook of all of these great, healthy practices that I've learned over the last 10 years, well, since, I guess, since a childhood, but, you know, gratitude is in there and breathing is in there, movement is in there, nature time is in there, you know, what you put in your body food-wise, nutrition is in there, sleep. All of these things are like nurturing for your soul and your overall well-being that might just be that moment where you get to go, oh, I was a little bit stressed and wound up and overwhelmed and I hadn't even given myself a second to even realize, and I wonder why that was, why I was feeling the way I was feeling. So a lot of the time the human race dealing with all of the problems that we face in the world, or all of these issues, they can often be overcomplicated because we try and fix all of these things in our lives that we wish were better, or we want to change career, we want to change relationship, maybe we want a different relationship, maybe we want to make more money, maybe we want to lose weight, all of these things that can torment us and can be really painful and an emotional roller coaster. A lot of the time we're missing the point that maybe we just need to work on ourselves and our attitude and our mindset and our gut health and our the way we breathe. How much time are we getting outdoors to de-stress your system, to find more space and get more clarity with actually what's coming up for you rather than ignoring the signs? So we need to find more time to create that little bit of space.
Yeah.
To be able to get that clarity, to make better decisions, to be kinder to ourselves, to be more understanding towards others. And all of these things are free, you know, and it's just a case of just being more aware of these tools being available to you and knowing that it doesn't take much time to just take a moment to rethink where your energy's been going today. You know, how do you feel? You know, how's your day going? What's coming up for you? What's on your mind? You know, how's your headspace? You know, all of these things you just got to ask yourself, right, at first.
Self-awareness, I guess.
Self-awareness.
It's really, really knowing. And that's something that we all lose. I guess as a child, it's so interesting. My son is now 14 months and he's extremely self-aware. He will cry when he wants something. Yeah, they know.
Brilliant.
And as we age, we just lose everything that your book tells us we need to do. It's like we're programmed somehow. I think we've done something wrong as the human race because we seem to program ourselves out of it. And I know in the clinic from my nutritional experience, we lose how to eat intuitively, which we do wonderfully when we are children. Perhaps it's the added anxiety and stress of adulthood. Do you think that creates a lot of these problems of being self-aware, that we just can't do it or we don't do it?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I'm not sure I have all the answers for that.
I
would love to know all the answers and I would love to be able to say exactly what it is. But, you know, I only can talk from my own experience and obviously the people that I get to work with. What seems to be consistent is we create these lives, and a lot of time obviously steered from our childhood and who we're surrounded by, you know, our parents and or whatever our upbringing is and the people, the friends that we have and the things that we're exposed to, the things that we hear, the things that we see. Mm. And obviously we could, you know, now say social media, for example, is one big space where we're bombarded with all sorts of different lives and experiences and expectations and what life could be like and should be like and, you know, on and on. And I feel we just need to take a moment sometimes when we're in that space where we feel overwhelmed or we feel like we aren't quite where we want to be, or, you know, you kind of like take a moment to find a little bit of space in your thoughts and then realize you are in control of how you respond to everything. So anything you read, everything you see, everything you hear, you have a choice as an adult or anyone, you know, even whatever age you are, to respond any way you want. Obviously, we, you know, certain people can be more sensitive than others and some are a bit more hard, tough skins and they can just brush off anything. But deep down, we're these living, breathing, incredible human beings that have a choice. to behave and respond and act any way we want.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So it's just a case of, I think, that realization that you can be manipulated by other people and other things, but it's still your choice to be manipulated and to react and to let things control you. So going back to, you know, the tools that, you know, have helped me through these situations where I've felt like really like lost or in that heavy headspace and those head funks that kind of like dominated my younger years. It's things like accepting that I'm in control of my own life. As an adult, I get to choose where I go, who I spend my time with, where I live, you know, what I focus on, where I spend my time. And that is why I've been able to work on the yoga practice. When I found yoga all those years ago, it was like, oh my God. You know, what a realization to know that my body doesn't have to be tense. Breathing a certain way that helps me calm down and be less angry and like emotionally overwhelmed. And then also then prioritizing sleep, knowing how important that is. And when you can, obviously, you'll know all about that with a young kid. It doesn't always work out where you get lots of, you know, lovely sleep, but.
Yeah, it helps though. It makes a hell of a difference when you do get the sleep. For everything you've said, we have a choice. It's such a simple thing to say, but so groundbreaking, isn't it? It's like this blatantly obvious thing staring all of us in the face, yet we just lose that perspective. I think maybe we live in a hierarchy society where there are external factors that we think we can't control, like our work-based environment, or, you know, perhaps somebody's boss is telling them at work that they can or can't do something, whereas actually we do all have a choice, and we can speak up and say things. And like you've said, just taking control of knowing you have a choice and then trying to focus on the other elements, like you mentioned in your book, the sleep and the nutrition, and you introduced movement, which was life-changing for you as well, and I think it would be for a lot of people. I think just acknowledging or learning how to breathe diaphragmatically would be life-changing for so many people. They need a kind of like a prompt, a bit of a push. And from your experience then, what would be the best way to start implementing these positive changes? What would you start with first? If a client of yours is saying, right, I want to do everything in your book, what would you say would be first?
So let's position this and present it with more context. Yes. So we all want, there's always things that we wish we could change in some way, or, you know, have more of it in our lives. and we don't need to name what those things are, but we all kind of have those on various different levels. So when I have a client come to me, or pretty much majority of every client's like, I want to fix this, I'm not happy with that, I would like to work on that, do you know about that? And it's like so overwhelming. It's like nothing ever really gets done. And that's why a lot of people don't get to where they want to be, because they try and fix everything all in one go. Or they're trying to do things that they simply just do not have the time to do. It's too much of a shift from where they are right now. So the main thing there is looking at the first things that are a priority to you that you feel are the biggest obstacle or the biggest challenge you face, and looking at what the next step is in the right direction. And that can just be one thing. Just to know that you're making that progress, that you're working on yourself, you're one step closer to resolving that thing or creating that new life. And a lot of the time, because people think it takes a lot of time to do this, the reason the book has been created in a way where we have these four pillars that I feel are always a cornerstone of anybody I'm working with: breathing, movement, nutrition, and sleep. So in every single one of those four elements in this book, there is an exercise in there that will take a minute, 5 minutes of your time. Who doesn't have 5 minutes, really?
Love it when you put it like that. We all do, really.
All do, don't we? Exactly. There is no excuse. So even easier, rather than work on all four of them, why not just pick one? In that moment, practice that. And what I would always say is breath, because right now me and you are breathing, right? Already. We have to breathe. But a lot of the time, one of the key things that often is missed is our breathing is obviously a lifeline, but it controls our energy. Our emotions can be manipulated by our breath, our performance, our mindset, our mood. So in that split second that you realize you want to create a shift, take a breath in and let it out slow. Oh, it can be instant if you're lucky enough, but that might just give you a little bit of space and a little bit less, I guess, mental fog to make a better decision in that moment, rather than react and make a decision you might regret.
Yeah.
And then
decisions are crucial, aren't they?
Well, that's it. It's just space. We have to be self-aware, and rather than react, know that in a moment where we just catch our breath to make a better decision, or to decide in that moment to get up, leave my phone alone, stop looking at social media and go and find some time outside to move in nature, or, you know, eat something healthy when I could be looking at all these snacks in my fridge. Maybe this is that moment where I should probably get rid of those things and I'm going to choose to make a better decision for lunch. Or rather than watch TV and be on my phone till midnight, I'm going to turn all that technology off and I'm going to choose to focus on getting a better night's sleep. And then knowing next day, wow, that worked. And then you have the power back.
Yeah, I have to say it. But when you say it out loud, of course it is. It does sound so simple, but it's true. I found last night myself, I was exhausted all week. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go to bed at 9 o'clock. And then just I did. And my son was asleep. And sure enough, he had an early wake up, which I knew he would. And it was 6:15 wake up this morning. But at least I'd gone to bed early and I felt a million times better compared to my 11 p.m., which is my usual laptop late at night work zone. So we can occasionally control, we can every day pick one of those aspects, because it may not be possible for somebody to pick the sleep one night. So let's work on the other pillar. It is definitely possible to do one of those at any point in time. Now, I do want to go into breath work a little bit more, because I know as a singer in my previous life how important it is, but I don't think I even understood back then the benefits that I was reaping from learning how to implement breathing technique into my daily life. So do you want to just explain to everybody what it does and why it can instantly calm you?
Yeah, so I was also that person. I played rugby for most of my younger years, and never once did I pay attention to my breathing. I lifted lots of weights. I ate lots of food, and I trained a lot, but I was missing one of the biggest pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah.
And what I realized as I got a little bit older and wiser, and started to look deeper into, you know, what was causing my injuries and why I was so anxious and stressed and why my body wasn't recovering and why I wasn't sleeping very well and why I had these mood swings, I was exposed to a breathing exercise that was simply observe your breath in, breathe in, hold your breath at the top, breathe out nice and slow, and then hold your breath for a moment at the bottom, and then repeat that for 10 times. And I noticed my heart rate drop. I noticed my energy levels calmed, and I felt just this moment of like complete clarity. And I was also blown away that just breathing that way would make such a difference in just a space of 5 minutes. And, you know, to go behind the mechanics of it all, we breathe all day anyway. We have to. But when we're breathing without any guidance or any knowing of the difference between a certain breathing cycle, a lot of the time it means we're breathing with dysfunction. And breathing dysfunction, with people that might be listening right now, they might be hunched over, shoulders rounded, chest cavity closed down, so the lungs aren't even breathing, aren't really taking in as much oxygen as they can or as much air. And then also squashing their belly in that hunched position over their laptops and their phone. So their diaphragm down in the belly, which is the primary breathing muscle, isn't able to do its job. So that's the first thing, you know, positioning when you're breathing. What a game changer when you sit upright and your shoulders go back and you can take that fuller, deeper belly breath. And then there's also the element of using the oxygen that you're breathing in efficiently. If you breathe short and shallow, like for example, in and out of your mouth into your upper chest, it tends to be feeding into that stress response. And we're breathing out our oxygen rather than absorbing into all of our cells where it's needed. So absolute game changer when someone explained that to me, whereas most of us are walking around completely oblivious. So for example, right now, if you are breathing through your mouth, in and out of the mouth, it's likely that you're breathing into your upper chest, your mouth is dry, you're more prone to snoring, and amongst many other issues. Whereas as soon as I learned to breathe through my nose, not only was I feeling more calm, I was able to use my diaphragm a lot better, take deeper, fuller breaths in, and also have my nervous system stay in more of a relaxed state. But these are all things we need to practice. And the more we practice consciously through breathing exercises day to day and learning to breathe through our nose when we catch ourselves throughout our day, we're more likely to be able to utilize the benefits of it when we're needing it most. So subconsciously and when we're sleeping and so on and so on. So,
and that would be mindfulness or a form of meditation, for sure. Surely, if we practice it. And I think that's where, so you've mentioned obviously breathing does tap into that parasympathetic nervous system. Mm-hmm. It instantly will have that relaxing part, but it does take practice. It is the amount of people that you will ask to take a deep breath in, and as you said, their shoulders will go up, they're not breathing through their diaphragm. It's actually quite difficult to try and focus on your rib cage coming out and visualizing, I used to, in singing lessons, it would be a balloon.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, yeah. Blow a balloon down in the diaphragm area. But it's really difficult to do. And it does sound simple, breathing, but once you nail the technique, it is life-changing. And a lot of people think, oh, well, I can't meditate. And I was one of those people, Richie. I was terrible. I'm too busy to meditate. Oh, I'm a scientist. I don't need to meditate. You know, all that kind of nonsense attitude. Actually, my deep breathing every day is my form of meditation. Mm-hmm. And what would you say to people with my previous attitude that meditation is just not possible? What would be your words to that?
So the first thing to probably put people's mind at rest is meditation tends to be pretty hard for most people. And I don't think it ever really gets really easy unless you're a monk, but I'm sure they have their issues sometimes. But you know, even though I have all these tools to use, there are days when I really struggle to sit still because my mind is so busy and stimulated. So rather than writing it off, I will use forms of breath work to improve my, I guess, or to get me into a better place to be able to meditate. So meditation is a bit about bringing present awareness to the task at hand or the place that you're in, completely connected to that moment, rather than thoughts running around the head and an emotional mess and trying to do a million different things at the same time. Very hard to meditate in those situations. But what we do need to try and do is try and find a moment of calm in these situations that we are, you know, it's inevitable that we're going to face each day. So for me, meditation became easier when I was able to find breathwork practices that allowed me to just turn the volume down on my thoughts and be less reactive to situations. So not just a mental pause, but like a physical release of calm and less anxious overwhelm. And then once the breathwork practice was, I guess, gone through for a few minutes or whatever time I had spare, I could then sit in silence and be okay with that for a moment. Or I'd get up and I'd be able to do a walking meditation or just be more mindful of my energy because I just stopped for a moment and found a little bit of stillness. And I think that comes in various different forms that people aren't aware of, which again in the book is why I've broken down all my favorite ones that I feel have been lifesavers for me and all my clients, especially how you tap into the biomechanics and the biochemistry and get people to really understand what's happening. It's really empowering to know that you have that control and you have that ability if you know how to put it into practice.
I wish it was taught at school, Richard. I know, right? I do feel that coping skills, because we're not taught coping skills, we're not taught how to deal with stress, how to deal with anxiety, how to deal with lots of life situations. It would save a lot of people it would save a lot of self-harm, if I'm being honest. I think if we learnt from a young age to manage these negative emotions or these natural physiological responses, which of course can be important, stress is incredibly important, we need to be stressed, but we don't need it to be excessive or chronic. And I know for one that food becomes a coping strategy for many of my clients, a way of coping with difficult emotions and difficult feelings. But perhaps we could lessen the number of people that do unfortunately experience negative health as a result of stress and anxiety through just simple breath work. It would be life-changing. But we do have questions from our listeners, Richie, for you today. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure ones that you're very used to facing, but I thought they were particularly relevant for this episode. So Kitty has said, how can I start to get my confidence back going back into an office? You know, because of COVID, I've been at home for so long. I just feel like I have no confidence.
Yeah, I can completely relate to that. I had my first experience back in London not so long ago to go and do some filming my fit community, and it was very odd. You know, I'm even more isolated in Wales where I am, and I was a bit nervous to go back into the mix of it. And I guess from my experience, it's about being a little bit less pressured by, you know, having any expectations of you again, and, you know, taking your time, knowing that everybody's in the same place. You know, there's a lot of people in exactly the same place as Kitty that are going to need some time to adjust. But knowing that everyone's kind of, been through the same experience and we've all had to adapt, confidence to try and reconnect with your, I guess, whether it's your team or other colleagues or even friends, you know, because you've been isolated like that, we've all been on this journey where we've had to dig deep some days and we've had a lot of time in our own head and create a different dialogue that, you know, we couldn't have foreseen. Confidence comes from, you know, being less, well, I find working on yourself and not worrying about others so much. And I think when we work on ourselves in a positive way by you know, taking time out a little bit more. You know, what have been the lifelines for most of us to get through the last year? You know, have you noticed that getting outside more has been really good for your headspace?
Yeah.
Have you noticed that, you know, drinking too much alcohol is not good for your headspace? Have you, you know, have you practiced breathing exercises where you've been able to stay calm in stressful situations?
So interestingly, one of the next questions was, is it true that being amongst nature is key to optimal happiness? And I think you said that at the beginning, mm-hmm. didn't you? That actually getting into a new environment can be very calming and create happiness.
Yeah, so I think to run into that question as well, when it comes to, you know, working on yourself and, let's say, you know, finding some confidence and reintegrating into any situation, knowing that other people will probably understand is a nice thing to be aware of, and actually, you know, sharing what's going on, you know, telling people that it's, you're having this experience, and, you know, I guess reaching out, I think, is always something to remind people of. Don't feel isolated where you think no one's going to understand that you might be nervous and you might be struggling and, you know, you might need a little pep talk, you know, because
yep.
it's very likely that that person that you decide to share with understands completely. And all of a sudden that, you know, lack of confidence is eased, because you're like, oh, I'm not alone in this.
Mm.
And what I find has been a game changer for me is actually saying that to people. And I did say that to people that I came across. Wow, it's really weird being around people again. You know, it's like I've been so used to my own company.
Yeah.
You know, and
I have. It's been very strange.
It's so strange. Like,
how to make small talk, Richie.
Yeah, that's it.
I've lost my touch.
Well, at least you've got a little one to chat with, even though they probably can't chat as much as you want them to.
It's more ba-ba, da-da, ga-ga. Yeah. It's not quite the same.
So, you know, I think it's really important for people to not, you know, feel like they're isolated. And I think confidence with reintegrating back into society and, you know, taking care of yourself is a really good place to start. And I find if you share these experiences and suggest going for walks in nature with your colleagues and spending more time connecting, because we've all been disconnected, what we want to try and do now is reconnect in as many ways as we can to rebuild these social connections and break down the artificial barriers that have come up for a lot of people that have caused this isolation.
Relationship dynamics add in a huge, and I want to get this question in with what, because I think it fits with what you're saying. Gina said, my boyfriend is so negative, and she said it's such a downer. She's actually written, should I get rid or keep trying to support him? I can laugh at it because it is quite, you know, quite out there, Gina. But I think a lot of people are struggling, aren't they, Richie, with relationship dynamics right
now? Big time.
Now.
I'm actually quite glad this question's come up. I like these real chats, actually, where, you know, I laugh at it because I'm like, should I get rid? And for me, what comes up there is because I know I've been in a situation where I've been with a partner that has been super negative. And I've blamed myself for being part of the problem, or you question things and you wonder, is it better on the other side of this? Or should I just try and work on it and try and figure it out for myself? Or should I get rid? Should I move on? And I think there's so many different things that come up in relationships, especially when you're so isolated and living with each other, under each other's feet, and you don't get as much space as you normally would do to do your own stuff. This has been a catalyst for a lot of relationship issues during the last year. And I know about this because I've actually been asked a lot about this with clients that have also had a lot of different struggles. So from my point of view, it's about communication. And I feel if you go through every avenue to communicate with that other person and share your opinion and your views and your feelings, and you're completely transparent in obviously a calm way. There's a very different way to say this and to bring these things up. If you do it in an angry, intense way, energy meets energy. So it's very hard to have a calm conversation talking about these issues or concerns about that person being negative and understanding if you can be of any help. You know, what is causing you to be this way? Or is there anything I can help you with? Or, you know, I understand that it's all, you know, without knowing anyone's in personal life. And being that support network for that person to be able to allow them to share and to communicate with you. And sometimes that can really help. But on the flip side, in case she does need to get rid, if that person is not wanting to be helped and it is bringing your energy down and you've done everything you possibly can to be of service and to be a positive energy and to be supportive and understanding and shared the way it's making you feel, and this isn't just about negativity, what the biggest shift my personal experience was actually just saying, this isn't for me anymore. And I feel we've come to that point where I would like to live in a different way. And
takes a lot of confidence, doesn't it?
Takes a lot of confidence. Takes a lot of confidence. And I'm not saying it was easy. It took me a year to say that.
There you go.
I just feel a lot of time we can save ourselves a lot of time by just biting the bullet and just accepting that this is really what we want and not doubting yourself if you've done everything you possibly can. But you do need to have a lot more compassion, understanding with other people right now, because there are people struggling and not knowing how to deal with it. And I just feel like just being able to share and communicate and be open and honest and respectful is a really good place to start.
I agree. That's a good answer. And having no regrets, because if you've done everything you can and you have followed those communication routes and opened those communication pathways with one another, then hopefully you will get to the bottom of it. But I think that's all we've got time for questions. They were really good ones, actually. I think we've really...
Yeah, nice mix there.
A very nice mix. Ones we can all relate to, that's for sure. So we now move on to our fact or fiction round, Richie. So just to spice things up a bit, are you ready?
Okay, let's go.
Here we go. So if you can answer fact or fiction to the following. It's okay to not feel positive all the time.
Fact.
It's silly to believe that thoughts shape reality.
Ooh. It's silly, do you say?
Yeah.
Ooh. I think that's fiction.
I probably would have gone for that as well, I think. Sculpted aesthetics will never lead to real happiness.
Facts.
Learning from mistakes is more important than avoiding them in the first place.
Facts.
You need to change a lot of factors in your life to become positive.
Ooh, fiction.
It's normal for people to have a period of depression.
Facts.
We should all take supplements to support brain health.
Fiction.
Everyone should experience the power of meditation.
At least once, yes, facts.
Affirmations work for everybody.
Fiction, but I like to think facts.
Yeah.
Can I be 50-50 on that one?
Yeah, you can, of course. And the last one, positive thinkers ignore the world's suffering.
Fiction.
Brilliant fact or fiction round. So precise. And it really does get you thinking, actually.
It does. It does. Oh,
which leads us on to wrapping up the episode and finishing with a food for thought. And I think I will finish today on touching on what Richie said by the fact that if you place yourself sometimes out of your comfort zone or in a new environment, it may initially feel a bit strange, but you will probably more than likely reap the rewards afterwards, because... as Richie said, it's celebrating the small wins. And I loved that you said that, actually. You know, just being in the countryside, getting off your phone sometimes and being able to, I don't even see a bird flying in the sky. Mm. It's little things like that that are quite humbling, actually. And knowing that working on yourself is actually difficult, but very worthwhile, and something that I think we all need to be more aware of ourselves. But Richie, if you could leave our listeners today with a take-home message, a food for thought, what would that be?
I would try and simplify that potential huge answer there, but because there's so many things I would love people to go away and think about. And I think the key thing here is to remember that wherever you are in your world, in your life today, right this moment, and anything that might be bothering you, or anything that you see as a challenge or an obstacle you might be facing, or there's a journey that you're on that you're finding hard work or challenging, think about what the first or the next step you can take, or the next move you can make, the action you can take, the decision you can make to just get one step closer to overcoming that obstacle. Or should I say, what's the one thing that can be that little win that you can celebrate today? And to simplify that even more is, obviously, you pick up my book today, I could quite easily direct you something that would help. But
yes,
if you think about, we overcomplicate things so much, and we end up sometimes feeling really deflated and overwhelmed and not feel like we're making any progress. And that can be disheartening. So simplify it as much as, you know, can you just make sure you're drinking enough water today? Can you decide to go for a walk right now without your phone, take your shoes off, put your feet in the grass and look up at the sky, and just take a moment to slow down your breathing? Maybe it's writing something down. Plan your day tomorrow. Set an intention for being kind to yourself and to others today. And make yourself a lovely, healthy meal that you know is going to nourish you from the inside, and then treat yourself to an early night. All things we have the power to control, and all have a huge impact on our overall health and well-being. Celebrate those things and then repeat tomorrow.
Hugely impactful words there from you, Richie, and wonderful take-home advice. I feel like I could talk to you forever. And I'm so glad we've had this conversation today.
Yeah.
The book is out now, so everybody can head over to their popular bookstores to get a copy. And thank you for coming on Food for Thought. If our listeners want to learn more about what you do and your wonderful book, where can you direct them to?
So the website is thestrengthtemple.co.uk. My social channel, Richie Norton_. But really, if you want all the magic that has just come out of my heart and my mind and gone into my book, that is called Lift Your Vibe. And you can get it pretty much anywhere you would normally pick up a book from.
Go out, grab a copy. And Richie, thank you so much for being such a delight on Food for Thought today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
If you are enjoying Food for Thought, you will absolutely love our up and coming episodes. So if you don't already subscribe, make sure you click, and then you can be the first to hear it every Monday. It would also be brilliant if you have the time to leave a review so that we can reach higher highs in the charts, and hopefully then we can help more and more people, because that is what this podcast is all about. And in case you haven't heard, I've got a brand new book on the way. It's called The Science of Nutrition, and my book will be coming out this December, so December 2021. It's available to pre-order now on Amazon, so do head over there to check it out. And for any more information about my Retrition Clinic, the books, healthy recipes, and so much more, just head on over to Retrition.com and follow me at Retrition on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.